Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. This is God's Word. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door!" "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they now joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord, the word of God, continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, we said it last week and we said it the week before, and we're going to keep saying it. If you want to know what all of this is about, look at verse 24. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. The book of Acts traces the spread of the gospel, the growth of the body of Christ. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, story by story, what is being recounted to us is, it's referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, but it's the acts of God in spreading the message, sending out his people. Even if he has to use persecution in order to do it, he scatters his people abroad throughout the world so that, just as he had commanded and promised, they're bringing the gospel to people who hadn't heard. So that's what this is about. But along the way, there are these great stories of what happened. First of all, the opening of this chapter, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some, not just one, but he arrested some who belonged to the church. When it says they belonged to the church, that means they were plugged into this community of believers. They had relationship with one another. And people knew who they were. And so some of them got arrested by the king. And he had James, he intended to persecute them, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter also. Okay? So this is a really bad time for the church. But God is not unaware, and God's arm is not short, and God is going to intervene in this situation in a way that we're still talking about today. Because while Peter was in prison, the church was at prayer. And he was in there, it wasn't just overnight, he was in there for a while. And the intention was, after the Passover, then we're going to bring him out, have a public trial, and then we're going to kill him. It's wonderful when they know ahead of time, when the government decides ahead of time what the outcome of the trial is going to be. They already knew what they were going to do to him, and the goal was just to go through some steps in order to be able to say, see, justice reigns. But what happened here didn't go according to Herod's plan. Because the night before he's supposed to be brought out to stand trial, again, the church is at prayer, and Peter is asleep. He's not just in prison, he's asleep in prison. That James has already been executed. This is one of his closest friends and associates. But Peter can't do anything about his situation, so he just goes to sleep. He's got guards on either side and guards outside the door, and they work shifts so that they can stay awake. And Peter's, you know, if they're going to have to be awake, he's going to get some sleep. I love that. Peter did a lot of sleeping along the way. We can look at that another time in the Gospels. But Peter is often getting awakened out of sleep and saying things that show that he just woke out of a sound sleep. But here he wakes up because an angel struck him on the side. The angel didn't come in and whisper, okay? The angel struck him on the side and said, get up. And so he struck Peter on the side and woke him up and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. They fell off. Do you ever think about the details like that? An angel has come in. An angel has struck Peter on the side and spoken to him out loud. But if you're thinking, well, maybe Peter was the only one who could hear it, The chains fell off. Any idea what that would sound like? Okay. The chains fell off. What was that? Nope. The guards apparently missed the whole thing. They were on either side of him. There were sentries posted outside. Missed the whole thing. Years ago, there was a guy who used to smuggle Bibles behind the what was then called the Iron Curtain. His name was referred to as Brother Andrew. And I had the joy of meeting him when I was a teenager, and he was a remarkable guy. But he tells the story of one time when he pulled up to a border with Bibles hidden in his car. I mean, they had, like good smugglers, they had prepared the vehicle ahead of time with secret compartments and all this where they could put Bibles. And he got up to the border and watched as every car in front of him was not only stopped and not only searched, but taken apart. I mean, they were looking for smugglers. And so as he sat there, he thought, they're going to find all these Bibles. Lord, what am I going to do? I can't get out a line and drive away or they'll come after me. What am I going to do? And a strange thought occurred to him. And he began taking out some of the Bibles and stacking them on the seat next to him. And he prayed and he said, Lord, in the Bible, you opened the eyes of the blind, and sometimes you blinded the eyes of those who see. When I get up there, cause them to see only what you want them to see. And so when it's his turn, he rolls up, and the guards came out and shined the light in there and went. Not only didn't they search his car, when the Bibles were in plain sight, they just waved him across the border. That made an impression on me. Let me just tell you something. Instead of worrying about, oh no, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? What do we need? Just trust God. Rely on him.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, the chains fell off, and Peter thought, this is a crazy dream. And he got up, and he told Peter, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Apparently, Peter slept without pajamas. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. So Peter followed him out of the prison, but had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Now, that gives you some idea of how real the visions that Peter had felt. You remember when the sheet was lowered down early in the book of Acts? Sheets lowered down by four corners and all these animals are on it, and he's told, get up, Peter, kill and eat. I mean, it seemed real because it was real even though it was a vision. But in this case, it wasn't a vision. It was real. This was actually happening to him. And he didn't realize it until the angel went away. When he's walking down the street with the angel, the prison doors have swung open. He's made it through out into the public. And he's walking down the street in the middle of the night with an angel beside him. That had to be cool. And all of a sudden, the angel disappears. And Peter's like, whoa, now I know for certain that this is really happening. Why does he say, now I know for certain? Because he was wondering the whole time. Is this real or is this a dream? Is this just a vision? I mean, what's going on? This really seems real, but this can't be real. Sometimes God does things in our lives that are so amazing, we feel like this must be a dream. But it's not a dream. It's real. It's real. God's at work. So, then Peter came to himself, verse 11, and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. And Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. She recognized Peter's voice, and she was so excited, because this is what they'd been praying for. "Lord, please get Peter out of prison. Please save Peter. Lord, please rescue him." When God answers prayer, Peter has a hard time believing it's real. So did the people who were praying. Have you ever prayed for somebody to be healed, and they were, and you're saying, "Boy, I hope it's real. I hope it's going to last." Have you ever prayed that God would bring somebody into your life who would be just the perfect helpmeet for you? And then he does. And it's like, "Man, I hope this is real." And it is. It is. Why do we ask God to do things and then not believe it when he does? Because we don't want to be fooled. We don't want to be naive. We don't want to be gullible. And we're not really sure we can trust God. So, the servant, Rhoda, is trying to tell him, "No, he's out there. He's really out there." If she'd just let him in, right? But they're coming up with alternate explanations. "Well, it must be his angel." Okay. Well, finally they come, and when they let him in, they were astonished, and Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. And he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. I thought it was an angel. It was. That's the Lord's doing. So Peter described how the Lord had brought him out of prison, and he said, "Tell James and the brothers about this," and then he left for another place. Why? Because Herod's going to be searching for him, and Herod knows who the believers are. Well, I thought it said at the beginning of the passage that James had already been killed. That was James, the brother of John, one of the three close associates, Peter, James, and John. This James is the brother of Jesus, who will increasingly take a role of leadership in the church in Jerusalem. Okay? So, in the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. Why? Because they are subject under Roman law to the same penalty that the prisoner they let escape was anticipating. That's the way it worked. How'd you like that job? If this guy's been sentenced to prison for 5 years and you let him get away, you're going to prison for 5 years. And if this guy was going to be killed and you let him get away, we'll kill you. So in the morning, there's no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. You got four guys, and they're all saying, "Well, what were you doing? Well, what were you doing? You were on duty too." And after Herod had a thorough search made for him and didn't find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. How'd you like to work for Herod? I mean, I can just hear. I feel like it's a hostile work environment. What do you mean? Well, he keeps killing people he doesn't like. Herod did that a lot. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea. He stayed there a while, and the people there wanted to make nice. They'd been at cross purposes with Herod. Now they wanted to make up, and so they did it through flattery. Okay? On the appointed day, verse 21, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. politicians. And they shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Oh, what a magnificent... We had a president once who got a Nobel Prize before he did anything. And the crowds would swoon, literally. Oh, oh. Well, Herod, when that happened, when they compared him to a god, ate it up. And it turns out when you eat up flattery, you get worms. That's just my little twisting of the text. But literally, now what has amazed me about this is Herod persecuted the church, killed James, and God didn't strike him down with worms. But when he tried to take God's glory as himself, it's like, okay, that's it. You have crossed a line that I'm not going to accept. Now, I'll tell you something. I am not likely to be tempted. I can't speak for you, but I'm not likely to be tempted to round up Christians and kill them. But I had better make sure that I don't try and put myself in the place of God, even if other people try to put me in the place of God. And I want to encourage you to prayerfully make sure that you don't allow other people to put you in the place of God. And you embrace that. Okay? My goal when I teach the scriptures is to get people to see that the answers are not in Jim Wood. They're in the scriptures. I'm happy to pray for you, but I want you to know that it's the one we pray to, not who's doing the praying, that really makes the difference. Herod wanted glory for himself. And God didn't just strike him dead. God struck him dead in a painful and humiliating way. Because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down and he was eaten by worms and died. He didn't die and get eaten by worms. That's for the rest of us. He was eaten by worms and died. The word of God continued to increase and spread. That's the part that matters. James has been killed. Stephen has been killed. People are being killed. Yeah, but the word of God is spreading. What happens to believers when they die? They go to heaven. Whatever situation you're in, just realize God is using it for your good and his glory. You're on mission wherever you are. Say, why would God let this happen to me? I don't know. But I know that God does. Don't think that your circumstances are beyond God's awareness or beyond God's control. Say, well, if God is love, why would he let me go through this? If God is love, why would he let his son be crucified? He did it out of love. Love for you. He knows what he's doing. And he's stronger than death. So don't be afraid. And then you got this verse about Barnabas and Saul finished their mission. They returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. That's the guy whose mom hosted the all-night prayer meeting. Okay? There will be much more about him in the following chapters. God is at work, even in the details that to us just seem like nothing. God's at work in the big stuff that seems like it must be a dream. God's at work in your life today. Are you trusting him? Are you yielded to him? I pray so.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.